There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Who are you trading for after last week's action? Let's talk to the pros. No lightning delay for the show today. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. No, your eyes and ears do not deceive you. I am not Joey P. I am not Dan Harris. I am Ryan Warmly, the part-time podcast host and full-time social media coordinator here at Fantasy Pros. And the powers that be were foolish enough, I mean kind enough, to let me fill in for today's show. Joining me for today's jam-packed episode are a couple of great guests. You know him, you mostly tolerate him. It's Fantasy Pros analyst Kyle Yates. Yates, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to have you here as the host. Joe has been just going nonstop, so good to be able to give him a day off, get you in the host seat here, and it is super nice to be able to finally have a co-host whose age begins with the same number as mine. So excited to have you here, man, and then also excited to be able to talk to our guest.
Yeah, it seems to be a rarity at Fantasy Pros right now to have hosts who are in their late 20s, which we both are. Of course, as you mentioned, we have a very special guest today. You know him from FTN. It's Matthew Friedman. Matt, how is the fantasy season treating you so far?
It's going all right. Going better than the sports betting season for me. That's for sure. And also, I should say, I feel like I'm catching strays over here. You guys are talking about being 20s. I'm getting close to 40, guys. Take it easy.
You know what? As long as you're young at heart, you will fit right in on today's show. For those who may not know Matt, it's actually kind of a huge get for us to have him on our show. I was doing some research and actually stumbled across a ranking of the 25 best fantasy football Twitter accounts to follow. And wouldn't you know it, but right there at the top, ranked number one was Matt, at Matt F. the Oracle. And would you care to comment, Matt, on this prestigious honor? And no, you do not have to let everybody know that you, in fact, wrote this list.
Yeah, I was going to say, who did I have to pay off to get ranked number one? And I probably didn't pay that person enough. And also, this honor means nothing. I didn't even know I was up for it. Anyway, we move forward. We stay humble. We continue to grind.
Maybe next time, as the social media coordinator for Fantasy Pros, maybe next time you will consider putting our account on that list as well. I will also mention Yates' Twitter handle. It's at KyleYNFL. My own is at Ryan Warmly. That's Warmly like how you dress when it's cold outside. And of course, you can find Fantasy Pros all over the internet at Fantasy Pros. And while Matt may have won that Twitter ranking honor, you, the listeners, can win too. Fantasy Pros is giving away a free signed Justin Jefferson helmet this month. And honestly, as cool as jerseys and footballs are, I personally think a signed helmet is just about the coolest possible addition you can add to any fan cave. So you definitely do not want to miss out on this contest. Just head to fantasypros.com/contest. Leave an honest podcast review. Yes, you can blame Yates for ruining your season with all his Jonnu Smith love. You can blame me for doing a terrible job on my first time hosting the show. Whatever you choose, and you can still still be entered to win. And what's more, if you're a subscriber to the YouTube channel, you'll qualify for 3 additional entries into the contest for a total of 4. Plus, if you subscribe, you can click the bell, get notifications for every Fantasy Pros video all season long, plus some of our how-to videos for how to use our entire suite of awesome tools to help you dominate the rest of the 2021 season. Guys, are you ready to jump into it?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Talk a little Monday Night Football. Not quite the fireworks show we expected on Monday night this week. Herbert led the night in passing with just 222 yards. Only one running back or receiver topped 100 yards in the game. It was Austin Eckler, of course, who blew up with 117 yards on the ground, 3 catches, 2 total touchdowns. How high are you willing to rank him at the position rest of season, Yates?
I think that he's now pushing that top 5 territory, because coming into the year, we were talking about him as far as like, yeah, he's going to get his guaranteed targets. And I was hyping up guys like Larry Roundtree in this backfield because there had to be a complimentary piece, right? We up to this point of Austin Eckler's career, he'd never been the guy to be the main guy on the ground. He's always been that pass catching, dominating out of the backfield. But now when we're seeing Austin Eckler carry so much of the workload on the ground, on top of getting plenty of work as a receiver as well, it's enough where we now start to have to push him up boards, especially when so many of these other top options are not producing the way that we thought that they would. So Austin Eckler, I think, is now pushing that top 5 territory rest of the season.
And is Roundtree still the guy that you like as a backup in that backfield? It looked to me like Justin Jackson, I think, got the first few carries when Eckler went out early with the small injury tweak. Is Roundtree or Jackson the guy for you in that backfield?
For me, it's Roundtree still. I think that Justin Jackson has always been this guy, like, he'll get the, you know, the yardage that's there for him, but he even struggled last night. So Roundtree is the guy that I think has the most upside, but he is nothing more than just an insurance running back in this backfield.
Matt, I'll ask you about Derek Carr. Does him throwing for under 200 yards and generally struggling most of the day, after looking like maybe an MVP candidate in the season's first 3 weeks, does that take the wind out of the sails a bit for him, for you?
Yeah, a little bit. And I'll just say, I mean, man, what a pain. You get to talk about Austin Eckler. I have to talk about Derek Carr. Let's even this out a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Derek Carr, a lot of what happened in the first 3 weeks of the season was based just on pure volume, and that wasn't there. They leaned much more on the running game with the return of Josh Jacobs, kind of disappointing. He did not look as good. He wasn't pushing the ball as far downfield. Now, granted that the Chargers defense, they're not elite, but I think they had a pretty good game plan for how they were going to contain the passing game. And it helps to have Derwin James going against Darren Waller. But I think part of it is the matchup. Part of it is the volume. I think Carr is still a mid-range quarterback too, moving forward. But he certainly doesn't seem like the guy who was just slinging it around the yard the first 3 weeks of the season.
All right, you sufficiently called me out. Where do you, Matt, have Austin Eckler rest of season?
I'm just going to say the exact same thing that Yates said. So maybe I didn't need to say anything at all. But no, he's absolutely right. I think he is. If he's not in that top 5, he is right on the cusp of it. And we've seen him have the receiving workload that we were hoping he would get under Joe Lombardi, offensive coordinator. He has gotten much more of the rushing workload near the goal line than we've seen him get in previous seasons. And so that's fantastic usage. If a guy's getting targets and goal line carries, there's not really much more that you need from him. And so he's getting those premium touches with Christian McCaffrey, uncertain with Alvin Kamara, not getting used as much as a receiver as he was in previous seasons. Yeah, I think Eckler is right there on the borderline of the top 5. I think right now I have him ranked number 6 or number 7.
And I would be remiss before we move on from this game if I didn't ask, after his incredible play diagnosis and his great form tackle to break up the pass attempt, where would you rank Hunter Renfrow in IDP leagues going forward?
Man, I think he's, what even position would he be? Would he be safety, free safety?
Like interchangeable box safety, free safety. I mean, that was just, that's the type of play that, you know, John Gruden is signing him to a lifetime contract.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Gruden
absolutely loved incredible.
That.
But let's get into the meat of the show. We actually have over 1 million teams synced to our My Playbook tool. So don't forget to sync your leagues for free and get access to great tools like our cheat sheets, league power rankings, even My Primer, which which gives you analysis for every player on every team that you manage from that week's primer. And in my playbook, there are some mighty, mighty interesting trades going on at this point in the season. We're going to talk about a few of these most traded players so far through the season's first 4 weeks, or specifically in the last couple of days after week four. Now, the most traded player on this list in the last 2 days is actually Cordarrelle Patterson, but I want to save him. It's a little unsurprising to see him on there given his breakout. I want to have a longer conversation on him a little bit later. Number two on that list is actually Raiders running back Josh Jacobs, who we just saw last night run for 13 carries, just 40 yards, an ugly night. He did have 5 catches, which was sort of eyebrow-raising for a guy that doesn't catch a lot of passes usually, but it was just for another very ugly 17 yards. So Matt, we'll start with you this time. Are you buying, selling, or holding on Josh Jacobs right now?
It's such an ugly situation, but given the usage we saw last night with the 5 targets, that's kind of encouraging because he did have that receiving capability at Alabama. He just hasn't shown that receiving ability in the NFL yet. I would probably be buying him because I think a lot of people are disappointed on what they saw in week one, disappointed that he missed weeks 2 and 3, and then probably disappointed that he didn't find the end zone, didn't do more in week four. But a guy who's getting double-digit carries each week, and we'll say 2 to 5 targets, I mean, that's what he's had so far. I know that's a wide range, but that's someone who seems like he should be at least an RB2 in most leagues. So he's someone I would be buying. I'm imagining people are selling him very low.
Yeah, and that's about where he went in drafts before the season began. Or is that what you would have him rest of season in, that late RB2 range, high-end RB2, mid-range?
I would say late RB2 with significant upside, because that offense, even though Derek Carr didn't look like a, you know, like the world beater he was in weeks 1 through 3, that offense still has potential. So we saw even in week one, in what was a underwhelming performance by and large, Josh Jacobs still had 2 touchdowns to save his performance. He is a guy in that offense with multi-touchdown upside each week, especially when they are favored. So, yeah, I would be buying him as a RB2, a low-end RB2, but with upside.
Yates, are you also buying in on Jacobs? Where would he rank for you rest of season?
Yeah, I think that you definitely can look at Josh Jacobs as someone that you can be adding to your rosters. And I think with Jacobs, it's more so predicated upon the fact that there are so, like, I need running backs for my fantasy football rosters at this point. So I think Jacobs is someone that we can target. However, I will just add this caveat to say he's going up against the Chicago Bears defense this upcoming week, where I don't think that this, like, I don't think he's going to have a very high efficiency metrics or like a fantastic performance here in this next game. So this might be the situation where, yeah, I think that you can get him cheap right now, but I think if we wait just another week, I think that that cost will come down even more, and that's probably when I'll be looking to buy.
If you guys are curious about which trades you might be able to get away with in your leagues, then be sure to check out our Who Should I Trade tool at fantasypros.com/trade. It's a great free tool that allows you to compare any 2 players and see what all the experts think about that potential trade. For this show, we've pulled some of the most popular searched trades to show you what trades fantasy managers are actively searching for. One of the most popular trade questions on the site right now for Josh Jacobs is straight up for Tony Pollard. How do you guys feel about that? That has to be in favor of Jacobs, right?
Yeah, I think that that definitely goes to Jacobs just because of the guaranteed volume. And Tony Pollard has been great, and Tony Pollard has been getting work, but Josh Jacobs is going to see more guaranteed touches. So I think that I would lean Jacobs there pretty easily.
Yeah. Matt, what about Josh Jacobs for Damian Williams, given the uncertainty surrounding David Montgomery's injury?
I would still, it's the same sort of situation. I would easily go with Josh Jacobs. Damian Williams has looked great in previous seasons whenever he has been the locked-in lead back, but that was on a very different team that was able to afford him a lot of targets and goal line opportunities. He's no longer playing with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and we don't know how long David Montgomery is going to be out. So
that actually broke just before we started recording. He's out 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
Does that change anything for you then, Matt?
No, still not really. I mean, 4 to 5 weeks is nice, but that doesn't really make the difference in terms of whether he will be a league winner or not. Josh Jacobs, as Kyle mentioned, he has locked in usage. We know what he's going to be doing within that offense as long as he stays healthy. He was on the field last night. I'm assuming he's healthy enough to continue for the rest of the season. I would go with Josh Jacobs.
The last comparison here, Josh Jacobs for Latavius Murray. For either of you, is that something that would appeal to you, or still going with Jacobs like the others?
Yeah, I'm going Jacobs there. Latavius Murray, no. I know that he's getting work, but no.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so and you know, all those, I would agree with you that Jacobs seems to be the clear option there, but these are the types of questions that are getting asked on the site. So I would encourage the listeners to go on, and if you're in a home league or a more casual league, give it a try, because people are looking at these types of trades and you might be able to get some value there. The next running back we'll move to, Yates, I'll start with you on this one. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, one of the most traded running backs in our My Playbook leagues. CEH had by far his most successful day on the ground of the season in week 4, rushed for over 100 yards, also caught his first touchdown of the year. He did fumble for the second straight game, could be a concern there. He's generally been a disappointment in fantasy, despite being the lead running back on the most explosive offense in football, even going back to last season. Are you buying, selling, or holding on CEH, and where would he rank for you rest of season?
I think that if I've got CEH, I'm currently holding. If I do not have CEH, I'm not going out of my way to go acquire him, because I think that the cost is too high right now. So I think CEH, like, yes, he was productive, but he's also got a cap ceiling, because we also saw Darrell Williams come in as the goal line back, right? And CEH had that goal line receiving work, but I'm not betting on that moving forward, right? For him to get a, 2-yard receiving touchdown every single week. So with CEH, he's one of these guys that if I've got him, I'm fine having him as an RB2 on my roster. That he does come with upside week in and week out, but I'm not betting on what we've seen over the last 2 weeks, really, to be the trend moving forward. So I think that he's not someone that I'm going to go chasing to be able to sell, you know, and acquire high. But if I've got him, I'm not selling high either, because again, I want running backs on my roster that are actually doing something.
Matt, do you agree with Yates?
I kind of want to save it just a little bit for the buy low portion that we were talking about later. But I will say, I don't vehemently disagree. Like I see the reason for why there's a lot of pessimism around CEH in the market right now. I'm just a little more optimistic.
Sure. And the most popular trade question for him is another one that seems pretty obvious to me. CEH or Zach Moss? I mean, that has to be Clyde, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. Clyde.
Yeah.
One of the ones that could be a bit closer, depending on how you feel about the Rams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Daryl Henderson. Yates, I know you've been a big Henderson guy. Is that something you would rather take Henderson?
I'm going to go with the guaranteed volume with Daryl Henderson. Now I know, and they're like back-to-back in our rest of season rankings. I think that I have them back-to-back in my rest of season rankings. So it's close, but I'm going to give the slightest little edge there to Daryl Henderson.
Back-to-back, that means it was a great comparison. I'm glad I asked it. Matt, I'll give you the last one here on Clyde. Clyde Edwards-Helaire or DeAndre Swift?
Well, I mean, as much as I like Edwards-Helaire, I have to go with DeAndre Swift there because he is getting that locked in target volume. Because, I mean, these Lions guys, they are so bad. And that just means a ton of targets that go to Swift almost guaranteed each week. So even though he's not getting the rushing usage that we would want, not getting all the goal line usage that we would want, the targets make up for it. So I would have to go with DeAndre Swift.
And then at wide receiver, currently the most traded player is Robert Woods. This is another guy we're going to go in a little more depth on later. Matt, you have been very successful projecting wideouts this season. You actually rank top 10 at the position in accuracy before week 4, according to the Fantasy Pros rankings at wide receiver.
To Matt.
So I will start with you here. What was the garbage time touchdown on Sunday enough to get you back on board the bandwagon for Robert Woods?
Yeah, it's not like I need much incentive to be high on Robert Woods in general. So the touchdown was nice. The overall usage has been disappointing, but I am expecting a bounce back.
And Yates, do you feel the same way? Does it bother you that as a Robert Woods manager, seeing the ridiculous mind meld between Stafford and Kupp right now?
Yeah, it's been tough to watch, and it's so frustrating, especially because I was so high on Robert Woods and coming into the season, and I was higher on Cooper Kupp as well, but I thought that it was going to be Robert Woods in this offense to get everything right. The process was right. I just got the freaking receiver wrong. And Cooper Kupp, that chemistry, that target share is just ridiculous. So I think, again, it's adjusting expectations for Robert Woods, saying that he is like a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3. He's not this high-end wide receiver 2 like we thought coming into the year. So I still want Robert Woods on my fantasy football rosters, but it's all about adjusting expectations.
One of the most popular trade questions on the site right now at any position is Robert Woods for Adam Thielen. Matt, who comes out on top there for you?
Oh, man, that's tough because these are two guys I have feelings about. But I have to go Thielen because he is getting that target volume, especially near the end zone. But yeah, I don't feel great about it.
Yates, how about Robert Woods for Julio Jones?
Well, it depends on the health of Julio Jones. Obviously, that plays a huge role in it. So I think as of right now, I would take Robert Woods just because I don't know if Julio is going to even be back this week or even next week. We don't have clarity on that just yet. So I'll lean Robert Woods right now. But if we knew that Julio was healthy, I would be taking Julio.
Yeah, and in that game against the Jets, obviously Ryan Tannehill without A.J. Brown and without Julio Jones had to throw the ball away quite a bit. Sometimes that happens for quarterbacks, but I want our listeners to stop throwing their money away. It's time to check out Jock Market, the app where daily fantasy becomes a stock exchange. Buy and sell shares of players in real time for real money. At the end of the night, all shares have a guaranteed payout based on fantasy point scoring. You can buy and hold, wheel and deal. You can even short shares of players that you feel are overvalued. Download now for a 100% deposit match up to $50 using promo code PROS. That's P-R-O-S. It's not about setting a whole lineup, just trade shares of players you like. At the end of the night, all shares pay out based on player performance. And get this, if you don't turn a profit this week, Jock Market will actually cover your losses in your very first event. So trade in a stock market where you actually understand the assets. Download Jock Market in the app or Play stores or check out jockmarket.com. That's J-O-C-K-M-K-T.com. Use the promo code PROS for a 100% deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit. I want to do one more trade comparison here. One of our most popular traded guys in the My Playbook right now is DeAndre Hopkins, obviously a longtime superstar in the NFL. He's been on the move in plenty of leagues this week. Yates, I'll start with you here. Are you buying, selling, or holding the veteran in Arizona? And how high is he on your rest of season wide receiver rankings?
Yeah, I still want DeAndre Hopkins. I know that it hasn't been as like nuclear as it has been in years past for DeAndre Hopkins, but he's still one of the most stable and steady fantasy football options out there. So I think what we saw in week three, right, against Jacksonville, where he didn't have the biggest performance, but he was battling that injury, that rib injury. I'm not letting that cloud my judgment here on him. So the expectations, he hasn't exactly hit those so far this year as to where we drafted him, but I still want DeAndre Hopkins on my roster. So if I can get him cheap, then absolutely.
Matt, how much does Hopkins playing with the now probable MVP through the first 4 weeks of the season in Kyler Murray, how much does that adjust how you're ranking Hopkins the rest of the season?
Well, I want to take just a small step back for a second to say great job on the nuclear pun, Kyle. And Ryan, you're crushing it with the segues, going from, losing money. It was fantastic.
This is,
Joe needs to watch himself. You're coming for the hosting job. So the question, DeAndre Hopkins playing with Kyler Murray, MVP front runner right now, it definitely boosts, the outlook for him because that overall ceiling is just so incredibly high week to week. He doesn't have the same, I would say, locked in floor that he had last season because the target volume isn't quite as monstrous as it was last year. So I do think relative to last year, he gets a slight downgrade, but he's still a top 12 wide receiver. He needs to be treated as such.
I'll ask just one trade comparison on him. DeAndre Hopkins or DJ Moore, who is not so quietly enjoying a breakout season playing with Sam Darnold. He also happens to be a Maryland grad. Go Terps. Matt, I'll start with you here.
This is great. I love this question. I actually got this question last week on the mailbag episode that I do. And I said at the time, like, I would do DJ Moore. And I think, I even said it would not be surprising if a month from now in the market, DJ Moore were just kind of easily the consensus ranked higher above DeAndre Hopkins. And I think we're going there. But I still think there are enough people who would have Hopkins over Moore that it is worth going in the market now and actively trying to trade DeAndre Hopkins for DJ Moore. And you can probably get some value back. You can probably get another player back in that trade. But outright, I want DJ Moore more than I want DeAndre Hopkins.
Yates, make this Maryland grad proud. Hopkins or Moore?
Oh, man. So DeAndre Hopkins is currently wide receiver 5 in my rest of season rankings. DJ Moore is currently wide receiver 8. So if I'm looking currently at my rest of season rankings, I will say Hopkins. However, I will cheat a little bit here and say that they are in the same tier. And Dan and I talk about this all the time. Like, you don't trade wide receivers that are in the same tier. So I would be fine with DJ Moore over DeAndre Hopkins currently I'm still going to take Hopkins, but DJ Moore is just playing lights out.
It's been a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, we just talked about stocks with Jock Market. So let's get into our favorite tried and true segment. It's buy low, sell high. Yates, we'll start with your number one buy low running back right now.
Yeah, for me, it's Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon, I know, is currently dealing with that injury, the low grade ankle sprain. And the reason why I'm highlighting Joe Mixon here as the buy low running back this week is because of the fear factor. For Joe Mixon's fantasy managers, in your typical home leagues, they probably drafted him with just saying, like, well, he's the best running back on the board, so I'll take him here. But they were not excited. The conversations that I was having with people just across all spectrums was that people were not excited about Joe Mixon and drafting him this year. However, I was the one that was saying, draft Joe Mixon, because what we saw last year, if he had been put on IR right when that injury happened, then we would have a completely different perception of Mixon. But because that happened last year and it was fresh in our minds, we now have this fear factor playing in that Mixon is an injury-riddled running back. Guys, he's a running back. He's going to get injured. We've seen it with Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, like a lot of these other top-tier running backs, they deal with injuries at the position. But it is a low-grade ankle sprain. I think that he's only going to miss 1, maybe 2 weeks. And so this is the point now where you can play on that fear factor from fantasy managers to be able to say, I know that you're scared that Joe Mixon is now what we saw last year is now going to happen again here. I'll take him off your hands. Joe Mixon's still performing incredibly well. The third most rushing yards in the NFL, the second most rush attempts, only behind Derrick Henry. He's second in the NFL in yards after contact. He's PFF's second highest ranked rusher, only behind Tony Pollard through 4 weeks. Like, he is performing incredibly well. And so if I'm highlighting some players that I think that we could potentially sell for Joe Mixon right now, especially for panicking fantasy managers, Cordarrelle Patterson is at the top of my list where I think that you can actually get that trade done. And then also Chase Edmonds, based on what he did here this past week and just the high floor that he's bringing, I think that that can be something too, where if Cordarrelle Patterson or Chase Edmonds are RB3s on your roster where you don't need them for this week, maybe not even next week, then you can ship them off for Joe Mixon. Because if you can add Mixon to a locked in RB1, locked in RB2 for your roster, then that is the point now where you take this fear factor, you play it against the fantasy manager, and this is how you build a stronger roster.
And you've already corrected me once on updated injury news from right before when we started recording. Is his ankle injury still just listed week to week? That's the last one I saw.
Correct.
Okay, cool. You already went through some of those trade comparisons there, so I'll move on to you, Matt. Who's your top buy low running back?
I mean, we talked about him earlier. For me, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I understand the skepticism around him, but you know, people are acting as if they're too good for 341 yards and 2 touchdowns in 4 games. Like, that's pretty good. Last year, he had 1,100 yards in 13 games. I imagine that he will have more than the 5 touchdowns that he had last year. He's the lead back in the best offense. If it's not the best offense in football, it's a top three offense. And we haven't seen the receiving just explode for him. But we do know, based on what he did in college, that he does have that upside. So given the situation he's in now, and then I would say like the potential of him getting the receiving work and the potential of him getting more goal line work, he's not going to get less goal line work than he's getting now. Given all of that, I think he's priced pretty close to his floor. So it seems like a reasonable time to try to buy him. Because if everything in that offense starts to go right, he could just explode.
Yeah, and that's the thing with CEH is he's never been bad. He's just always been disappointing because the hype was so over the moon. I mean, in a lot of leagues last season, he was a late first round pick, certainly did not live up to that. Again, you're talking about the lead running back who should be a great pass catcher in the most explosive offense in the NFL, playing with great offensive mind, Andy Reid, probably the best quarterback we've ever seen, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, these are all things that you hear and your eyes just light up when you're thinking about CEH, and it hasn't totally lived up to that yet. Where would you put him in your rest of season ranks at this point? And is he moving up after you saw this nice, I don't want to say it a breakout because he's been good before, but a bit of a in-season breakout in week 4?
Yeah, I have him as a mid-range RB2 and maybe sneaking up a little bit towards a high-end RB2, but not quite there yet. But yeah, I mean, we've seen him have back-to-back 100-yard games. That's part of what's factoring into this. But, you know, really, it's just the fact that that offense is so dynamic and he's getting consistent usage. You know, I mean, like around 15 touches each week. That's pretty consistent. And in an offense that good, I just want to have as much exposure to it as I can.
Yates, let's stick with the running backs. Who are you most excited to sell high on right now?
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier when talking about Joe Mixon. It's Cordarrelle Patterson. And I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, what he is doing so far this season is ridiculous. I mean, it truly is insane. Like, I had someone recently was like, why didn't you tell me to draft Cordarrelle Patterson? They reached out to me on Twitter. I was like, because it's Cordarrelle Patterson, man. Like, this is ridiculous how the Falcons are choosing to use him. And it's working. So when I talk about Cordarrelle Patterson as a sell high option, like, I think that he's here to stay. I think that his workload is here to stay this season and that he's going to be productive and efficient. But the hype right now, based on where he is currently in, I think he's a top five fantasy football running back up to this point of the season. And if we didn't talk about him here as a sell high after he put up three receiving touchdowns, then I don't think that I'd be doing my job to the best of my ability. So when you can sell Cordarrelle Patterson for a more proven asset, we talked about that with Josh Jacobs. Like, if you can sell him for a more proven asset, an asset who has more guaranteed volume and guaranteed production, like, that is where I want to be able to invest my fantasy football assets. And so Cordarrelle Patterson, I mean, it's ridiculous. He already has tied his highest receiving touchdown output on offense for his entire career. That happened in 2013 in Minnesota. Like, he's already done it through four games. And that kind of efficiency, that kind of just that touchdown rate, that's not what I'm betting on moving forward. Is he going to be a safe option? Is he probably going to be a low end RB2? Yeah, probably. But if you can ship him off for one of these guys that is not producing the way that we thought they could at the running back position, one of the guaranteed players, then that's the way that I'm looking to choosing to look at this.
Yeah, obviously Patterson coming off a career day against Washington continues his absolutely shocking renaissance so far through the season's first month in Atlanta. I kid you not, the number one trade question for Cordarrelle Patterson on the site right now is straight up for Alvin Kamara. I'm not going to waste your time asking for you how you feel about that unless you are prepared to utterly stun me. But I do bring it up to, again, emphasize the point that in some of these casual home leagues, you can take advantage of big breakout days like this. It doesn't hurt to make the offer. The comparison I will ask you to weigh in on, Yates, is Patterson or Miles Sanders?
Oh, I mean, those guys are in the same range for me, honestly, as low-end RB2s. So that I would probably hold on to Patterson, quite honestly. I think that I would be looking to sell higher than that.
Matt, how do you feel about Patterson versus Miles Sanders? Or I'll give you the chance, Patterson or Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, this is great. I'll address the Sanders question first. Yeah, I think I would go with Patterson because I do think his 6 to 7 carries and 5 to 7 targets per game, I think that's pretty consistent. And with the playmaking ability he has, he will have some spike performances, whereas I just don't think we're going to get that from Miles Sanders, who I think is descending within that offense. So I would go with Patterson over Sanders, and I really wouldn't have expected that I would say that. Now, Alvin Kamara, I mean, obviously you go with Kamara, but Kamara is actually, if not for Cordarrelle Patterson, who's like the obvious sell high, I would just say anytime a guy has 3 touchdowns, just go try to sell him.
Right.
You probably can't do wrong if you just have that as a general heuristic for fantasy. But I have to say, Alvin Kamara, he's my sell high, in part because he's not getting the receiving workload. His offense is not functioning in the way that we anticipated it would under Sean Payton. He's getting a ton of Derrick Henry-like usage as a runner, but that doesn't feel as consistent. And maybe I just need to adjust my expectations. What happened last year, the year before that might not be representative of the workload that we're going to see Alvin Kamara have moving forward. He's had 20 carries in 3 of 4 games this year. That does not seem sustainable to me based on how we have seen him used within that offense in the past. So if there are people who are really bullish on what they've seen out of Alvin Kamara, I am more than willing to let them indulge that bullishness and get back an asset of similar value.
As you mentioned, Kamara not really getting the passing game work that we're accustomed to. Not only did he not get a single pass on Sunday, he didn't earn a single target. That's like pretty unheard of, A, in a Sean Payton offense, and B, for a guy of his receiving ability.
I saw the stat that was the only time in his NFL career that he has played and not seen a single target.
It's wild. And this is something that some people were worried about. Obviously, Jameis has been the starter, but with Taysom Hill in effect, you know, the short game is sort of turning into let Taysom Hill scramble. That's been the case of the goal line a few times. Obviously, it hasn't hurt Kamara in the past when they've introduced Hill into these games when Drew Brees was a starter. But as they're sort of working him in more and more with Jameis as the starter, it just hasn't really worked out for Kamara in that passing role, as particularly the volume's still high overall, but rushes just frankly aren't as valuable as targets even in standard leagues, because targets are all usually going to get you more yards out of it. Matt, I don't know if you mentioned a couple of these names, but Alvin Kamara, I want to give you four names real quickly and just tell me all of them if you would trade Kamara for them. Ezekiel Elliott, Najee Harris, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler.
Okay, I would trade him for Zeke. Christian McCaffrey is a little more uncertain because of the injury issues. Najee Harris, that one kind of hurts. I would still keep Kamara just because that Steelers offense has looked so, so bad. And who was the fourth one?
Austin Eckler.
I would have Austin Eckler. Yeah.
Yep. Those names are all some of the most popular ones in our Who Should I Trade tool. Matt, let's stick with you for the wide receivers. Which wideout are you buying low on?
I understand people are burned on Robert Woods based on what he's done in the past 4 weeks, but they're kind of forgetting what he's done in the previous 3 years. I think the guy who had a 23% target share eventually is going to earn more targets this year as defenses are forced to focus more on Cooper Kupp. I guess Van Jefferson actually is not bad at football, but I still think Robert Woods is better than him and is still going to be, by the end of the season, the real wide receiver two within that offense. People are valuing him right now as if he's a flex. I think he's more of a wide receiver three with upside based on what we've seen in the past 3 years. So if people are looking to sell, I am certainly willing to acquire.
One popular trade question for Woods right now on the site is him or Brandon Cooks. How do you see that one shaking out, Matt?
Well, I mean, fellas, I'm way too invested in Brandon Cooks. So I cannot be objective about this. I mean, I want Brandon Cooks everywhere too. So it's Brandon Cooks.
And let's do one more for Woods, just because he's been such a frustrating player to roster this season. Robert Woods or Tyler Lockett, two guys who went very similar ranges on draft day just a month ago. Who are you taking there, Matt?
Oh, easily Tyler Lockett. I mean, he's locked in as one of the top options on an offense that is frustrating, but still pretty dynamic. So I would go with Tyler Lockett.
Of course, we're talking about buy lows here. I want to tell you guys about some other buy low opportunities with Pristine Auction. I know the listeners are hoping to win a free signed Justin Jefferson helmet from us, but that's not the only amazing deal from our friends at Pristine Auction. They've got daily auctions with hundreds of cool swag opportunities that is perfect for any fan cave, for fans or fantasy managers of any player. They guarantee authenticity, and just as important, it's affordable. Most people think cool gear like this is beyond their means, but the truth is a lot of items are much more affordable than you might think, including a signed jersey from my personal favorite player, Lamar Jackson, that went just 2 days ago for under $100. Literally this weekend, a Lamar Jackson signed jersey, under $100. You can get that on this site and more. It's quick. It's free to register. Also free to place your bids. You only pay if you win. When you head to the site, enter Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field located at the top of the page. Again, it's totally free. And when you use the code, you'll get a free $5 credit. So sign up at pristineauction.com today. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And go ahead, get your free $5 and start bidding. Now, Yates, I want to take us back to the buy low, sell high and ask who your favorite buy low wide receiver is.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about Allen Robinson here. And let me be clear. It has not been pretty. He is currently the wide receiver 61 through 4 weeks. So when I am saying Allen Robinson, this is really, I'm coming to the conversation without like a ton of ancillary stats to be able to point to and say like, this is his recipe for success. This is how he can get back on track. And a player that I can say that about, I'll do a 2-for-1 here really quick, is Kyle Pitts. Like with Kyle Pitts as a buy low at the tight end position, we can say he's 7th at the tight end position in targets. He's tied for the most inside the 10 targets with 3 on the year at the position, 5th at the position in terms of air yards with 144. Like there's enough of these other supporting stats to be able to say buy Kyle Pitts. That is not the case with Allen Robinson. It has been bad. I get it. But when we look at Allen Robinson and the talent level and the fact that he has just completely burned fantasy managers, especially in comparison to the conversation in draft season was, who do you want? Do you want Allen Robinson or do you want Terry McLaurin? Now looking back, it's like, oh man, I wish that I had taken Terry McLaurin, right? Especially after he's coming off a 2-touchdown performance. The one thing here that I can say about Allen Robinson is that he still has a 24% target share in this offense on the season. Fields has only just thrown 37 times through over the past 2 weeks, which limits the total output. And then now with David Montgomery now out for the next 4 to 5 weeks, I think that we could see them lean on the passing game a little bit more, especially if they are going to go back to Andy Dalton. So the opportunity for Allen Robinson plus his talent level is absolutely there. And when we are talking about a buy low option, I mean, fantasy managers that have Allen Robinson are like, get this guy off of my roster and you can get him for super, super cheap. So at you mentioned, Ryan, like fantasypros.com/trade, some of the frequently asked questions are Allen Robinson or LaVisca Chenault. I want Allen Robinson. A-Rob or Emmanuel Sanders. I get the offense, but I'll take Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson or Marquise Brown. With Rashad Bateman coming back to the lineup, I'll take Allen Robinson there. I'm not completely viewing him as the wide receiver 61 in my rest of season rankings. I think that he will bounce back. He's a player that the talent level has to come through here. And especially too, if he had been able to connect with that long touchdown, I think it was either week 2 or week 3, I can't remember off the top of my head, then we would have a little bit of a different perception of Allen Robinson in our minds. So I'm buying low on Allen Robinson because you can't buy him lower than where he is currently.
Matt, I want to get your thoughts on Robinson too. Obviously, he has a long history going all the way back to Penn State of playing with very, very subpar quarterbacks and mostly excelling despite it. How does the Bears' pretty much disastrous quarterback management so far between Fields and Dalton and Foles affect how you value A-Rob rest of season?
I think Kyle nailed it on this. I was very hands-off of Allen Robinson entering the season because of the quarterback situation. Whoever was going to be throwing to him, it was either going to be a nearly washed-up Andy Dalton or a rookie Justin Fields. Either one wasn't a great option. I have literally zero Allen Robinson on my teams right now, which like now is the perfect time to buy.
Yeah.
Right. Because like as you say, he cannot be priced any cheaper than he is now. He is priced at his absolute floor. And although I don't think that he's, like a highly efficient receiver, he has been able to produce on volume throughout his career. And he's going to get volume. He has to get more volume than what he's had over the past 2 weeks. So yeah, I do think this is sharp. Now is the right time to buy him because I mean, no one wants Allen Robinson.
Right. Yates, give me your top sell high wide receiver. Now, you know, the drill at this point, I want his rest of season rank and how far he's moved.
Yeah, of course. So Kenny Golladay is the guy that I will say here for sell high. With Golladay, he is now on pace currently for 115 targets. Good. 72 receptions. That'll work. 1,198 yards. All right, that'll work. Zero touchdowns. So I think coming off of a big performance here for Golladay, you know, 6 receptions, 116 yards, 0 touchdowns. That was with Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton out of the lineup. And yes, we can talk about Kenny Golladay working his way back from that hamstring injury and developing chemistry with Daniel Jones. Like, I think Golladay is still going to be a relevant fantasy option, but this is the point coming off of that 6 reception, 116 yard game where we sell high on Golladay because this is still a headache for fantasy managers. So with Golladay, he's now in this, he's a low end wide receiver 3 for me in my rest of season rankings. He really has not moved a ton based on what we saw here this past week, because I do know that Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton are going to come back into the lineup. A trade that I would personally be looking to do is take Kenny Golladay. You're not going to be able to do it outright, most likely, but trying to package Kenny Golladay with another piece here, maybe a running back if you've got a few extra ones, and for CeeDee Lamb, like go after CeeDee Lamb right now because the perception on CeeDee Lamb is a little bit of frustration too. So being able to take Golladay, sell high, I just want to avoid this headache. And if I can move up, then that's what I'm going to do.
The most popular trade question on the site for Golladay is actually Adam Thielen. Who are you taking there, Yates?
I would take Thielen.
And Matt, who's your sell high receiver?
I was muted. FYI, this was a very professional segue there, by the way. You're just luxuriating in your segues here. It's Adam Thielen. That's the guy I'm selling high on. And I feel like I'm going to be years from now, like the guy who's homeless on the street being like, I tried to sell high on Adam Thielen and it didn't work out for me. But I'm still trying to sell high. I mean, he has 4 touchdowns. I do not believe that Thielen, despite all of the touchdowns he had last year, I just do not think he's the guy who warrants a touchdown per game. And he's had, you know, pretty decent usage, 10, 7, 9, 8 targets each of the past 4 weeks. That's great. I just feel that at some point regression has to happen. We're talking about a guy who's 31 years old right now. And, you know, with another wide receiver in that offense, who I think is, if not better than him, at least ascending, a guy who could start to threaten his goal line targets, his overall target share. So while Thielen still has legitimate value in the market, I would be more than happy to divest and get someone I just feel a little more certain with.
Let's move to the rest of season rankings here. This can help give fans a sense of how to value both their own players and players who may be on the trade block in their leagues from other owners. I want to start with you, Yates. Who is your biggest riser in the rest of season running back rankings, and who is your biggest faller?
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about him earlier. Like, he is still a sell high for me, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to have fantasy value. That's Cordarrelle Patterson. So Cordarrelle Patterson went from, in my rest of season update last week to this week, he went from RB 33 to RB 23. So I'm not valuing him as a top five fantasy football running back, which is where he currently is. But he is still going to have value. That doesn't mean, though, and I don't think that his usage is, you know, isn't here to stay or whatever. He's going to have value. And then the faller for me, you got to talk about him. It's Tyson Williams. Tyson Williams being this guy that I had as a low-end RB2 2 weeks ago. And then he comes out against Detroit, which was a smash spot, doesn't come through for fantasy purposes. And then this past week is inactive suddenly. And Le'Veon Bell gets the workload. I don't know what is going on here. But I think that Williams is still their best running back based on everything that we saw from Bell and Freeman and Murray. Like, it's still Tyson Williams. So I think that he gets on the field here. I dropped him from RB 30 to RB 39. So he is not someone that I'm completely out on. I still think that he will have some value here, but I'm definitely concerned.
Yeah, honestly, it was tough for me, just as, in case it's not clear, a Ravens fan, to see them sit Tyson as a healthy scratch. To me, he has clearly the most juice in his legs right now, right, of everybody in that running back room. And it's sort of hard to ignore him being a healthy scratch behind three veterans that mostly kind of look pretty washed up. Latavius Murray did have an 11-yard touchdown run in week four. He's looked the best of the three veterans. I don't like Le'Veon Bell's fit in Baltimore. The Ravens need a running back who is going to just take one cut and go. Bell has always quite famously been very patient behind the line of scrimmage, likes to dance around a bit before he finds the hole. Hopefully he can prove himself to be a good fit if you're a Ravens fan or if you own him in fantasy, but we'll see how that goes. On Cordarrelle, I do just want to ask you, maybe not specifically with him, but sort of a fundamental philosophical position. How do you react, Yates, when you see a player who, regardless of where they were ranked before the season, they put forth such an impressive week like Patterson did on Sunday? I mean, when do you believe in the value of signature significance at all, where you can't really fluke into such a high, you know, scoring day like that?
Yeah, and it's interesting with Patterson because, you know, and I know you asked about a general view, but with Patterson specifically, it's interesting because his usage is so different. Like, he's not just a guy who's being given scheme touches and he's like breaking them off for, you know, these schemed runs or whatever. Like, he was used as a deep threat. Then he was given the ball as a running back and he scored. Then he was, you know, so he's being used in so many different ways, which is encouraging, which is why I want to say, like, it's different with Patterson versus some of these other players that just break off these long runs that never should have happened, right? Like, Patterson is getting the job done and his usage is encouraging because he's being given these big play opportunities. So I think with Patterson, it's a little bit different than if it was, you know, like Max Williams at the tight end position, where it's like he's broken off a couple of big games and then it's just completely fallen off, or CJ Uzama, right? Like, it's those kind of performances where I'm like, all right, we have a little bit of a longer track record to be able to say and look at the usage. Whereas with Patterson, based on how he's being used in this offense, you have to buy in.
Matt, how about you? Which running backs are on the move in your rest of season rankings?
So I don't know if he has moved up the most, but James Robinson is the guy that I maybe now have the most certainty with in terms of how you can use him. So there are guys who have maybe moved up more, but they're still kind of on the borderline of, do I start this guy this week? Whereas James Robinson, like, yes, like, now you know you start him every week. He's moved up for me from that flex, you know, RB3 territory where he was in, you know, in week one. Now, you know, Carlos Hyde inactive. We've seen James Robinson in back-to-back weeks be used pretty strongly as a runner and as a receiver. I think he's a mid-range RB2, if not a high-end RB2 at this point. And we saw what he did last year. We know the potential that he has. And I will just say, it's not as if I'm ever really desirous to see someone lose their jobs, but it's possible. You know, there are rumors out there that, Urban Meyer might not be long for Jacksonville. And if he parts, I think that maybe means even more usage for James Robinson. So I think there's upside for him, given what we saw him do last year, and even given his current role now. And if Trevor Lawrence really starts to develop in the second half of the season, that can mean more goal line opportunities for James Robinson. So he's someone who is really intriguing to me now, on top of the potential that he has for the second half of the season. So Robinson is the guy that I'm really moving up the board. And then the guy who has dropped for me, in addition to Tyson Williams, who, yeah, someone you have to move down the board. We talked about him earlier, Miles Sanders. I mean, he is just, he's being isolated within that offense. I thought he could have a breakout season this year. I think he has a ton of talent. He's just not being used that way. And the way he has been used in the past 2 weeks makes you think, I mean, we could be a couple of weeks away from Kenny Gainwell being the lead back in this offense. So Sanders is a guy you just have to drop down the board.
Yates, give me your receiver who took the biggest leap and your receiver who took the biggest fall in your rest of season rankings.
Based on what we saw this past week, it's Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney is rising up my rest of season rankings. And I had been kind of in this territory the week before the Cleveland game. And then he dropped based on everything that we saw from Matt Nagy and the play calling in that game against Cleveland. So Darnell Mooney went from this past week, wide receiver 55, back up to wide receiver 43 for me. And there is the potential. And he's kind of staying there because I don't know what the quarterback situation is. If we knew that it was going to be Justin Fields moving forward, who is pushing the ball deep downfield, and now Matt Nagy is like, nah, we don't want that, then I think Darnell Mooney would be the guy that would continue to rise even up into that low-end wide receiver three territory. But right now he's just kind of staying put as a flex option, someone that you definitely need to be optimistic on. Because the talent's always been there, but just the quarterback situation, I don't know. Juju Smith-Schuster, I do know what the quarterback situation is here, and it is one that I do not want to be tied to. So Juju Smith-Schuster, man, this offense is downright terrible. And I was lower on Juju coming into the year anyway, for different reasons than what has played out here. I did not anticipate this big of a drop-off for Big Ben, but he's moved from wide receiver 37 to wide receiver 47. If we move forward and we get another dud week from this offense this upcoming week, then Juju, I think I'll be close to dropping outright in fantasy football leagues.
Yeah, real quick, just on Juju, I want to ask, what percentage of his drop is attributed to him and what percentage is Big Ben? Is this 100% a Roethlisberger issue, or is there any Juju performance issue that you've seen in there that is causing you to drop him as well?
I don't think that it necessarily falls on Juju's shoulders. It's more so the role that he's being asked to play in this offense, and that won't translate to consistent fantasy football production with the way that Big Ben is looking. So with Juju, this role that he's being asked to fill as the slot receiver, get the ball short and create after the catch, that's not Juju Smith-Schuster. That's not what he's asked to do or what he's fit to do. And I think that he is tremendously regretting not signing with the Baltimore Ravens or Kansas City Chiefs this offseason and instead choosing to return to Pittsburgh. It's just a combination of factors here where the role he's being asked to play is not the right one for him. And then the offense is just it's not good. So yeah, it's a combination of factors there.
Yeah, there was a clip of him on the sidelines in week 4 where he either said, I think he said it's a Ben problem. It might've been saying a big problem or a bad problem. I'm not a professional lip reader, but it is possible he's admitting already this early into the season that Ben Roethlisberger is a pretty big issue there. Matt, which wide receiver rose the most for you in your rest of season rankings and who fell the most?
So the guys I'm going to talk about, AJ Green and Juju Smith-Schuster, they've risen and fallen respectively, in part because I was probably too low on AJ Green and too high on Juju Smith-Schuster. AJ Green, I was very pessimistic about what he would be able to do within this offense based on what we saw out of him last year. And then also the fact that, hey, like, I'm a Rondell Moore guy. So I was probably just hoping that we would see more Rondell Moore within this offense less AJ Green. But Green has been getting consistent usage. He's playing 80% of the snaps in one of the best offenses in the league, an offense that wants to throw the ball. He's getting six targets like clockwork each game. Because he's no longer the number one wide receiver in the offense, he doesn't have to face opposing number one cornerbacks. He doesn't have all of that coverage directed in his direction. It's a good situation for him all the way around. And so whereas I was thinking of him as like, you know, a guy that I would just never want to start, I just wouldn't want on my team. Now I'm thinking with the usage and the offense, I mean, I think he's a flex at worst, and, you know, maybe a low end wide receiver three who has the potential to go off in a given week just based on the offense that he's in. And then Juju, I mean, I don't know what to say. I was thinking that there would be a bounce back season. I mean, totally wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. I don't want him on any of my teams, which is a sad thing because he is on most of my teams, because I was just way too high. You can't start him. You cannot. And the thing is, it's hard to say that a guy who got eight targets last week is unstartable. You know, he has seven targets in three of four games, but these are targets that are not worth anything. Just absolute trash opportunities that he's getting thrown his way. So despite the usage, I just do not think that you can have him anywhere near your starting lineup. And yeah, I think he's probably droppable at this point. Even with the Chase Claypool uncertainty, I think you still don't want Juju anywhere near your lineup.
Yeah, I don't know how many more times I can watch Big Ben throw short of the sticks on fourth down. Let's move on to a speed round here with our mailbag questions. We haven't talked to many quarterbacks on today's show, so let's get a fan question on some signal callers here from at Pisagno Paul. I don't know why I picked a username who I don't know how to pronounce, but I did. He's asking, Kirk Cousins rest of season or Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, or Trey Lance? Which of those four would you guys prefer rest of season? I have a feeling I know where Yates is going.
Well, it would be Trey Lance if we knew that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be out, but Kyle Shanahan's playing this gamesmanship, which, I mean, Kyle Shanahan playing this? Nah, who would have seen that coming? So I think if we knew that Trey Lance was going to be the starter for the rest of the season, then that would be a no-brainer. But Kirk Cousins had been performing extremely well. He fell off a cliff this past week up against Cleveland, which is a solid defense, so I don't want to put that entirely on him. I think at this point, it's either Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold, and they're in the conversation because Sam Darnold decided to turn into Josh Allen, apparently, and we weren't anticipating that coming. So it's really close between Cousins and Sam Darnold at this point, which is crazy to say. I think I'll give still the slightest little edge there to Kirk Cousins.
Matt, I'll give you this next one. It comes from at Craig00076426, and I chose that one because I can pronounce the numbers just fine. He asks, how can I make myself give players enough time to get going? Most recent example is Darnell Mooney. I dropped him for Antonio Brown before this week. Now I regret letting him go. And I don't necessarily want to focus on Mooney, but again, this is more of a philosophical question. What is your personal strategy for how to time when and who to drop early in the season?
I think 4 weeks is sufficient. You know, if a guy hasn't done it in 4 weeks, he's probably just not an important part of his team's plans. Now, usage is important. So if he's getting targets and he's just not doing anything with the targets, but the team continues to go back to him, then I think you continue to hold him because that underlying usage is more predictive than the production that he's gotten. So I would say focus more on the opportunities that a guy is given and the role he has within his offense and less on the production. But if the opportunities aren't there, and we're 4 weeks into the season, I think you can drop him.
Last mailbag question here is from at Buck Nasty, y'all, which I'm really hoping and assuming is an appropriate name for this show. Their question is, I have Najee Harris, Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, and Elijah Mitchell. Is it worth it to try and trade Gibson since he's been nothing more than a solid flex play so far? Yates, I'll start with you.
If I've got those four running backs, I want those four running backs. You know, I'm not, unless my team is just desolate at wide receiver, like I'm not moving any of those running backs because I want the depth right now when we have so much uncertainty and we don't know what Elijah Mitchell is. Like there's optimism, but Trey Sermon is getting a ton of work and we don't know what Elijah Mitchell is, even though we thought that we knew going after week one. So I'm not moving a guy like Antonio Gibson, who is still seeing one of the heaviest workloads in the NFL, is still producing. I think you said like as a flex, I think he's producing way more than that. I'd be fine with him as an high-end RB2 in my lineup every single week. Like, that's the way that I want to view him. So I'm not moving any of those guys. I'm holding tight, and I'll continue to play matchups between the top three. And then if Elijah Mitchell turns into something, then maybe I'll ship off Mitchell.
Matt, again, those names, Najee Harris, Kamara, Gibson, and Elijah Mitchell. Do you feel similarly to Yates?
Yeah, imagine having too many running backs. I would love to have
not
that
in
problem.
In this economy?
Couldn't be me.
yeah. I would absolutely hold all of those guys and then lord it over all of my league mates.
Yates, very quickly, I'm talking like 15 seconds or less. I told myself if I ever did a podcast with you as a fellow person in your late 20s, I would get your very quick sitcom rankings. So off the cuff, totally shooting from the hip, rank for me The Office, Parks and Rec, Community, New Girl, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, my word. Okay, so Parks and Rec at one, Brooklyn Nine-Nine at two, The Office at three, but that feels sacrilegious. Then you said, I haven't seen Community, actually. So Community is last. And New Girl. Oh, man, where did I... New Girl. I'll put New Girl at two, and then Brooklyn Nine-Nine at three, The Office at four, which feels, again, ridiculous, and then Community at five.
Okay, first of all, the most sacrilegious thing you said is that you haven't seen Community. I would put it at number one of all of them. Matt, would you care to weigh in on this most important question of the day?
Community is trash.
What?
Okay. Ooh, all right, here we
go. I just got to say, Kyle, consider yourself lucky that you haven't had to watch that show. I'll just say, I haven't watched it in its entirety. I started watching it and I just absolutely hated it and could not finish it. So I haven't seen New Girl, but New Girl is definitely ahead of Community for sure, because Community doesn't deserve to be talked about at all. I will not say that word for the rest of my life. other than that, I would have to put Office number one. It's just like a sign of respect, like the obligatory gesture. But then after that, I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is fantastic. And what was the other, the missing
Parks
one?
And Rec.
Parks and Rec is two, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is three.
Wow. I'm really distraught and upset that I waited until we have no time left to bring that up. that was horrendous and extremely disappointing for me. But incorrect sitcom rankings or not, you both are certainly excellent fantasy football rankers, and I really appreciate you taking the time to share that with the listeners today. Please, everybody, remember all the cool opportunities you have to get awesome free stuff, including a sweet signed Justin Jefferson helmet from us here at Fantasy Pros by visiting fantasypros.com/contest and subscribing to the YouTube channel. And of course, thank you to Pristine Auction for offering their $5 credit to listeners who sign up at pristineauction.com with the promo code FantasyPros, and also to Jock Market, who is 100% matching up to $50 at jockmkt.com with promo code PROS. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Yates and Matt, I'm Ryan Warmly. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.